This is down to brass tacks. You're on the air. Yes, we can hear you.
Good
go
morning.
Ahead. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Hayes.
Good morning.
Yes. Can you hear me well?
Yes. There's a little wind or something coming through, like a fan or something, but...
Okay. I can't help that, but I wanted very much to speak with you this morning because on the heels of the Prime Minister moving for us and for the benefit of Barbadians, the statue of Lord Nelson, there are a few things that have been thrown up, as they would. And although I'm not going to speak to the racial issues, that's one thing, and I don't think that they are the most important things at this moment. I think there is something that we have to do consciously about training our minds and healing our minds from what we thought of as an abomination, a torture, a crime against humanity, which was the slavery scenario that we know very much about. This morning, I gave way to a mummy and a perhaps four-year-old to go across the street into a minivan with the noise level of the minivan so high that it was vibrating the cars on the road around it. The sounds and the words of the music coming out of the minivan into the ears of this four-year-old and other children in the van said to me that we are not consciously training our minds. A long time ago, the same slavery brought to black people this wonderful book called the Bible. How it's been interpreted to us is varied, and I'm not sure that it has been generally interpreted in a way that benefits us. I think there is a whole lot more that we can be doing with our minds to create worlds that are understanding of reality that the Bible tells us that we can do. But they're hidden. All of the wonderfulness in the Bible seems to be hidden from the people who use it as a tool of living or a handbook for life, just like all the other religions. But I want to emphasize that our minds are our tools by which we have to live. If we don't use our minds, if we clog it up with horrific music, maybe I shouldn't call it horrific. Maybe I should call it music that stops our creativity. Maybe I should call it
music that sends your creativity in a different direction that may not necessarily be suitable for a person of that age. Because
Ms. Hague, you're speaking the truth. Yeah. There it is. Of that age, I would leave off. Mm-hmm. But the point is that we are not, you see, Barbadians are do not have the same, regardless of where we come from or how we were brought up. We were not brought up like Americans that come from perhaps ghetto situations. We are not brought up like Jamaicans even from any walk of life. We have a different socialization, and the people who are saying to black peoples around the world that this is the music that is your music, this is the type of thing that you need to do because you are black, this is what you need to dress in because you're black, this is what young girls and boys need to be listening to be talking with. Mental strength needs to be brought out. And we are able to do it, especially with our young people. You know, it's hard for older people to move out of different, you know, their ways of thinking. But young people, we can get it done with.
Well, some of the videos I've seen recently, we certainly have to try harder to move in that direction as far as the future is concerned. Because if what I see, what I saw with a bully, for example, on a video forcing another young person, another young boy to kiss his feet, kiss his shoes, then, you know, it's pretty scary if we don't pull that back as best as we can.
Ms. Haig, they're only copying what they see. You see, when you have different cultures imploding in your mind, in your socialization, how what you see in front of you, what you experience, is only what you're going to reproduce. So young people have to have some model in front of them that says, you know, this is an option. This is an alternative. Let's try this. If they only see one thing as the way to go, you know, young men don't have to walk around with their pants down, Miss Haig. They don't have to. They can do other things. Young women don't have to walk around with tight, 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 tight clothes on. They can walk around with other types of clothes on as well. I'm not making a value judgment more than I'm saying there are alternatives. You can choose alternatives.
Freedom of... I too agree that what I am comfortable doing and you are not comfortable doing and is not doing me any harm or anyone else, I do believe in freedom of choice. If a woman feels that she wants to be comfortable in her own skin and she wants 90% of that skin to be out there, so be it. I wanted to pull you back, though, to what you said about children and what they see. Hence, this is why when I see videos like that and children fighting and bullying and doing those types of things, this is where now I believe that parents need to be held accountable for the actions of any child under the age of 18. Everything that they do, a parent must be held accountable. I believe in contracts, written agreements now going into school. We've gotten to this stage now. I don't believe in the punishment. I heard this morning on the news, I don't know if it was from the teachers' union, I'm not sure, but I know they talked about punishment and bringing back the ability to lash children in the palm of their hands and stuff. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that worked back in the day when children were not so exposed to what they're exposed to now. And I think the punishment has to take on a different approach. But I feel strongly that if your child steals something at school, your child beats up another child at school, your parent, as well as the child, yes, should obviously face some sort of suspension and possibly some sort of psychological evaluation. That mother and father, or whoever the caregiver is, must be held responsible for the behavior of any child right now in this country. That's my firm belief. Hold a parent accountable, you will see how fast children can get hauled into line at home. Teachers may not have to be faced with such behavior if the parents will pull it back. I strongly believe that. One, what Sapper is saying here, are you saying parents can't lash? So what are you going to, how are you going to pull them back? I never said that they can't. I was talking about in the schools where teachers were saying that, you know, we need to bring back that. And I'm suggesting some other alternatives, some options. That when we heard about, well, back in the day, you know, you get beat with a cuckoo stick and so on and so forth, and the children turn out better. the whole environment back then is different to what we are seeing now. The exposure to all types of things is certainly different. So how you handle that now may be a little bit different, because you could end up beating, let me take a boy child, for example, and the father constantly beats him. I mean, where do you draw the line? How hard is too hard? How many lashes is acceptable? You know, that type of thing. And then that boy then grows up and feels that that's what he need to do in order to pull back the girlfriend, you know, or the girl that gets lashes constantly and grows up and feels that my daddy says he beats me because he loves me, and grows up to feel that if my boyfriend don't beat me, he don't love me. I'm just saying that those situations can happen, you know. So I'm just saying that there are options and that we can explore all. There's some children that you just can't beat, because the more you beat them, the worse it can become, depending on what the situation is with them mentally. So, you know, it's a discussion out there for how parents may feel about sparing the rod and spoil the child. That's one way of looking at it. But it's also the other way of what could be seen as abuse. You know, you can punish, but you still got to be careful as to how far you're going with the punishment. Down to Brass Tacks, you're on the air.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning to you and your staff. I would like to join the chorus of callers who are complaining about the roads. And I would hope that the Prime Minister would treat this as a priority like other things, including tourism and other things, because we are spending a lot of money trying to repair vehicles, and then we have to bring in these parts from abroad, which is using up currencies that we could very well use here if people with common sense, right? You don't need people with O levels and big qualifications to tell you that when you hit in a ditch, that you mash up your suspension, right? I changed mine twice last year, three times the year before, once this year now, and this is the second time I may have to do it, right? Now, you're paying ministers a fortune. What are they doing? If I was in that department, what I would like to do is to put the people who dig up the roads, I would put a vehicle or an additional service right behind them, with them, that when they dig up the road, they put it back as they found it. You know, you're walking, you're driving on the road that you know that was okay. Then the next thing you know, there's a big hole in the road, you bang and you mash your suspension up. Then you have to wait maybe 3, 5, 10 years to get your money back. Wouldn't it be common sense to link, well, just one more vehicle to come and tar over, move down the road as you leave it, rather than the stupidity that's going on in Barbados for the last God knows how long? I mean, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does.
So why is the government spending all the money, all these experts coming in, about people who are using the roads, leaving the roads as they are, it's senseless. I do not understand the logic. And then the manholes, you know, you repair a road, but you don't raise the manhole. So when you go down in the hole, you damage your vehicle. I just don't, you know, I'm trying to come to terms with this sort of ignorance, you know.
No, hence the reason I brought it up. I too many potholes. Again, not to blame government, but to share, or to blame MTW rather. They're not perfect in any way, and sure they're trying, but there are some ways of doing things in a different way that would help them.
Well, it depends where the money is flowing. If it's flowing into, or which departments the money is flowing into. But if you dig up a road, please put it back the way you found it, for God's sake.
Well, man. That would be the other utility companies example, like, say, NPC or Water Authority. And then to leave it so open for a while. I remember maybe a month ago, there was an accident, six roads, kind of opposite the minister, the MP for the area of St. Philip West, right there in front of his office.
Yeah.
And the car turned over because it was obviously it wasn't properly lit. They had a little caution tape around it. Clearly the caution tape was all wrapped up in the car and rolled over on the top. I mean, but it could have been worse. And that was there for a few days. Of course, we saw then the water authority coming out in the morning to do it. But what if someone had died? You know, so you really got to take this serious, because you coming around a corner and it's dark and you butt up on a whole mount of, not even just a whole, you know, heap of marl and things that they just keep up, and you trying to dodge it. It's a problem. I know of another accident in Callenders. Again, the trench wasn't properly lit. The car ended up in it and flipping over.
I know that one.
Yeah. So, you know, a person didn't die, but are we going to wait until someone dies to do this? I know of motorcycles dropping in, breaking a hip. These things are not public, but they happen. And
I'm beginning to question our members of parliament. Do they have helicopters? Because if they travel on a road in the area that they're supposed to represent, all they have to do is send a note to whoever is responsible to let them know that something is happening, excuse me, on that route. That is all communication.
I'm glad you do. I remember when I was at the BWA in the latter part, and they couldn't get the holes fixed. There was not enough. They couldn't use MPW. Resources were tight, for what I understand. So what I understood back then. So what we did was to put out information about the trenches, where they were.
Correctly.
And told the public, when you're traveling A, B, C, this is what you may encounter, blah, blah, blah. I think that's what all the utility companies, including MPW, if you can't get something fixed, let people know where to find it. In a notice through GIS or whatever, take a picture of it and said on this road, we were unable to patch it right away. Kindly proceed with caution and do it for everyone, especially the ones that you come in around a bend that you can obviously butt up on. That doesn't cost anything to do.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. All you need is a bit of common sense. That's all you need. You don't need all leveling common sense to do that.
Applied sense, sir.
If you dig a road up, please link a vehicle with it, not tomorrow or next week. Dig the level the road off, for God's sake. You know, this is simple.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The other thing, ma'am, is I would like to raise with you is the problems with children in school. It's a very sensitive problem. But, you know, I've been a lecturer for 3 years at a university that is trying to encourage people who do not have the proper qualifications but have the background and working knowledge to gain a qualification. But some of them have had problems at home. It's not the problem of the teacher. The problem of the teacher is to educate children. There are other problems that I think that the government need to do is to include a psychologist at every school and children with problems. I used to get hit on my fingers with a ruler. Then I had a belt when I was going to elementary school here in Barbados as a little boy. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, that didn't solve the problem, but I pulled myself out of the issue and I made myself good. But there are problems now with parents who do not look after the children, fathers who don't look after the children. And I think that they have to withdraw these issues away from the school room and look at how best they can help these children, right? They don't need a belt. They don't need a strap. They don't need anything. It's just need for a group of psychologists to sit down and work back and find out where those issues are. And it goes back to the family, okay? It's only to... Mm-hmm. It's only
I agree. Look, before a teacher meets your child, you obviously are the first person, the mother, the father, if there's one, and the mother is the first to obviously touch the child, and like I said, if the father's present, you take baby home, you expose baby to, if there's an extended family, grandparents and so on, you have to go back out to work, so you leave the baby with the grandmother or aunt. The point is, the teachers don't know that child.
Exactly.
Not yet. You know that child, and whatever you expose that child to, if you give that child a guitar, you might end up playing it. If you give that child something else that is negative, that's what they may do. Their brains are like a sponge. So whatever you put in, you're going to get out. So you're asking teachers to help you undo what you did. You know, you can't do that. I think that teachers, yes, they're there to assist. I think that they we need to have psychologists at schools, maybe assigned to a school if there's a problem from the primary level. It may not only just be at home. It could be some other behavioral issues.
Absolutely.
Identify them early. You can't paint everybody with one brush. I hear everybody say it's this, it's that. It's a lot of different things, but primarily you expose your child to things that are negative, and you putting negative in, you can get out positive.
Precisely.
It's not rocket science with us, applied sense. But, so that's why I thought you should hold parents accountable for the actions of the children that they raise.
Yes, and finally, I would appeal to all men, if you bring a child into this world, please, in the name of God and your parents, and his parents, are, please support your child. Please support your child. Don't leave us to nobody and drop them all over the place, and you go along, let us, you know. Because people like that should be, I wouldn't say that on the radio.
Well,
but
in defense of men, too, because I've been told that I belittle men on this program. but there are some women, and I know of a situation where a woman has totally blanked out, well, whatever reason, the guy from being a part of the child's life, and the child isn't even born yet. So maybe they have their reasons, I don't know, but they are entitled to be a parent, even if the two people are not together. You would then have to prove that they are unfit father, and you can only prove that after the child born.
If you are,
you know, so yeah, so that you gotta give men some slack. Those who want to do and try, I believe, should be given the opportunity to be a parent. There are men that are only too glad that they get a little pass and go like, well, you know, she ain't bothering me, so they go on with the business. And there are men that want children until they get them. Same thing for women too. But you know, we kind of know that. But I'm glad that you made a public plea as a man to other men. Please be there for your children. You know, they need you.
Right. If they don't want it, all they need to do is go to a bank or credit union, open a little bank account for them, get the birth certificate, get a name, and put the money. If the woman doesn't want the money, put it in the account so that the money grows up, and put your name on it as well. That, you know, so you have no excuse. But look after once you know that you brought a child into this world and the mother doesn't want to have anything to do with you, that's not your problem. But start a little bank account or something so that when the child grows up, at least there's something somewhere that he or she could start. You know, it's ignorance to think, well, she don't want to talk to me, so I ain't giving her the money. That's ignorance. You've got to be ignorant and backward and stupid. I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I think, you know, this is down to brass tacks. We call it as it is. And it wasn't disrespectful, because that's the case with some people. Not only just the men, there's some women that make some really bad judgment calls when it comes to their children, and they're not interested in their children either. You know, so it works both ways. It's just sad that we see it leaning a little bit more to the men, or the men don't really say when they're the ones that look after the children. I know of a young man. He's not 30 yet, and he looks after his daughter, and the mother barely visits, maybe once or twice a month, you know, and he does everything for that little girl. So it's not, you know, people are different. There are different reasons why people do things, and I'd rather a person give up a child than to keep a child and to abuse a child, you know, and not to visit. If a father can't behave himself, then he shouldn't be around the child, similarly with a mother. But I want to thank you so much for your contribution. I quite enjoy that. Thank you so much.